I suspect that the gardeners in the congregation are cringing after hearing our gospel reading today. At first glance, Jesus appears to be describing a gardener, a sower, who is very careless in the use of seed. Just as farmers in the congregation will be discouraged by the story of the shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to find one. So in our gospel story today, the sower casts the seed everywhere. Some fall on the path and are eaten by birds. Other seeds fall on rocky ground. They spring up and die quickly because they don't have any roots. Other seeds fall among the thorns, and the thorns choke them. Finally, some seeds fall on good soil and yield fruit. Of course, obviously, Jesus isn't really talking about gardening practices. Here we are in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is teaching his followers, crowds of followers, a series of parables. So parables, of course, are metaphors or analogies to make complex ideas easier to understand. So in this chapter, through these parables, Jesus is teaching his followers about the kingdom of heaven, a complex idea. And so the first of seven parables in this chapter is this one, the parable of the seed and the sower. So for Jesus' audience, and perhaps for many of us today, this parable seems self-explanatory. A sower sows seed, and depending on where they fall, there will be differing results. And the ultimate was that good seed plus good soil results in a harvest. But even there, it's important for us to notice that even in good soil, the increase differed. Some seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. No matter how you look at it, though, the yield of the seeds that falls on the ground is fantastic. Any farmer or sower would really be pleased with those results. But as we first take a look at this story, the sower in this parable seems to be God, and the seed is the message, the inspiration that God provides. Now, of course, it's tempting for us to say that we in the church, whether that's St. Helen's Church, the Anglican Church, the Diocese of Ottawa, or the Church Universal, are the good soil and the seed multiplies fantastically within us, providing a bountiful harvest for the kingdom of God. And at first glance, that might be true. But it also feels like there's a second, deeper level to this text. The church, of course, isn't a standard, sort of uniform, homogeneous entity. Each of us make up the church. And we might all be at different places in our spiritual lives. So some days, some weeks, some years, I might be on a path where the seed provided by the sower is just eaten up so that I'm not influenced by it at all. Or other forces might choke out whatever seeds are received from the sower, even if they initially took root. Those forces might be some evil thing, or they might be a family situation, an illness, some other distraction. And even, of course, if we're the most fertile soil for those seeds, there are still different yields. Some seeds are going to be more successful than others. It feels like there must be some other factor that influences the harvest in addition to the soil and the seeds themselves. Jesus clarifies for the disciples, so that was sort of the second half of the story. Jesus clarifies for the disciples that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, snatches away what is sown in the heart. But given that Jesus was explaining all of this to the disciples, I suspect that the sower, or sowers of the word, might actually be the disciples. Jesus is telling them in private that things might not go as well as hoped as they pass on the message of Jesus. Some of them might be better at it than others. Or sometimes what they thought to be a good place for planting seeds of the word, the seeds of the word, weren't quite as good as they had hoped. So we've heard a little bit about the plan for St. Helens in the fall to discern our ministry action plan. And as we do that in the fall, decisions will be made about what steps to take in ministry. That is, where to plant the seeds. And St. Helens, being located in a government town, will perhaps make a detailed analysis of every possible factor, hoping to ensure 100-fold success in everything that it does. The problem, of course, is that Jesus has already told us that that isn't always going to be the case. Perhaps a ministry field that St. Helens chooses will end up being rocky ground. Or perhaps St. Helens itself will be rocky ground, failing to discern the message. But lest we stray too far from the parable, let's get back to it for a moment. The main character in the parable, of course, is who? Is the sower. It's not the soil. And this is a story about the kingdom of God. And the sower scatters the seed carelessly, recklessly, seemingly wasting much of the seed on ground that holds little promise for a fruitful harvest. Of course, Jesus invested in disciples who look similarly unpromising. He squanders his time with tax collectors, sinners, lepers, people possessed by demons, all sorts of other outcasts. Yet he promises that his extravagant sowing of the word will produce an abundant harvest. Did you notice that Jesus didn't use the parable to tell us to be good soil, so we could make that happen anyway? But this is about the kingdom of God. The sower sows generously, extravagantly, even in the least promising places. Jesus' investment in his disciples and his followers shows that he simply will not give up on them in spite of their many failings. We trust that he won't give up on us either, but we'll keep working on whatever is hardened or rocky or thorny within and among us. And we trust in his promise to be with us to the end of the ages. So we, as those entrusted with Jesus' mission today, we might think about the implications of this parable for how to spread the word of God, following in the footsteps of the disciples of Jesus. The Lutheran theologian Elizabeth Johnson, not to be confused with the Catholic theologian Elizabeth Johnson, asks us these questions. Do we, collectively and individually, sow the word only when we are confident it will be well received? Do we clutch onto our resources, wanting to make sure that nothing is wasted? Do we stifle creativity and energy, sometimes resisting new ideas for fear that they might not work? As though mistakes or failure should be avoided at all costs. Jesus' approach to mission is not a play-it-safe approach. He gives us freedom to take risks for the sake of the gospel. He's in favor of generously, extravagantly sowing the word, even in questionable places. Though we might scratch our heads about the wisdom or efficiency of his methods, Jesus promises that the result will be an abundant harvest. Seeds will take root in even the most unexpected places, in the cracks on the path, among the thorns, in the swamps. So this is the kingdom of God, a place where the Word of God is made available to all, a place where nobody is ignored. This is a place where the Word is spread extravagantly, not frugally, a place where it takes root and it grows.